Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hyperthetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hyperthetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hyperthetical, Hyperthetical.
This episode of the Dungeon Cast has been brought to you by Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from. Their easy-to-use design tool lets you build your perfect miniature online using a fully 3D in-depth character creator right in your web browser. Hero Forge also offers downloadable model files for users to 3D print their unique designs at home. Their 2.0 color technology allows you to create your perfect miniature in color with advanced features like decals, makeup, war paint, and more. Design your unique miniature and get it printed in full color, no painting required. Visit heroforge.com to start designing your custom miniature today. And check back often. New content is added every week. Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons, from Roaring Rapids to resounding renditions. And today we are talking about The Ranger, Horizon Walker, and Fae Wanderer.
Prepare yourselves.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
I'm ready to explore the countryside.
Well, we're exploring more of the countryside today because both of these are very planar-oriented subclasses, which is always fun. I love the Ranger in theory. In practice, it's still pretty cool, but unfortunately, like, it'll never be the Ranger for 4th edition, I'll tell you that. That thing was a beast.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to stand behind my personal take on the Ranger, which is if you're playing a game built for Rangers, it's the best class in the game.
Yeah, Rangers are awesome. Yeah. They're fun.
Like Druid Ranger in the party, that's a good time. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to go everywhere.
Indeed.
But it's going to take forever, and you're not going to be able to eat good food. You're going to eat basic food.
So today we're talking about the Horizon Walker and the Fae Wanderer, and we're leading off with the Horizon Walker. I actually have built the character, the Horizon Walker.
Yes.
And because of that, you are going to read to our audience about the Horizon Walker.
Yes, just
and
like
and then
last
we will
time.
Swap duties again.
Yes. We're going to do that, what Will just said.
Be my guest.
I lied about eating the good food. There's a lot of cool stuff, in, especially in Tasha's, that lets you cook all super awesome. I'll go ahead and start us off. Horizon Walkers guard the world against threats that originate from other planes or that seek to ravage the mortal realm with otherworldly magic. They seek out planar portals and keep watch over them, venturing to the inner planes and the outer planes as needed to pursue their foes. These rangers are also friends to any forces in the multiverse, especially benevolent dragons, fae, and elementals that work to preserve life and the order of the planes. So the Horizon Walker magics, you're going to get that at third level. You learn an additional spell when you reach certain levels in this class. As shown in the Horizon Walker spells table, this spell counts as a ranger spell for you, but it doesn't count against the number of ranger spells you know, which that's how a lot of spellcasters work.
Yeah.
You're going to get protection from evil and good at third level, Misty Step at fifth level. Love that spell. Haste at ninth level.
Love
also
that spell.
Very good.
Love that spell.
13th level Banishment. Also very good. And 17th level Teleportation Circle, which I love.
Yeah, good spell.
High level, but like to get
especially for a ranger, which is only a half caster.
Yeah, good magics, good magics. You get Detect Portal at third level, so you gain the ability to magically sense the presence of a planar portal. Is that like an incursion or just like a split in the reality?
It could be any of those things.
Okay, Dungeon Master's discretion.
Mm-hmm. Or it could be literally someone opened a portal, and you're like,
"That's
I
true.
Smell it.
I smell portals." As an action, you detect the distance and direction to the closest planar portal within 1 mile of you. Once you use this feature, you can't use it again until you finish a short or long rest. What a campaign hook. you know?
Oh, yeah.
This is great. Yeah. This is great stuff. I love this.
I'm excited to tell you about my character. It's very interesting.
Well, I'm excited to hear it. We got the Planar Warrior also at third level. You learn to draw on the energy of the multiverse to augment your attacks. As a bonus action, choose one creature you can see within 30 feet of you. The next time you hit that creature on this turn with a weapon attack, all damage dealt by the attack becomes force damage. And the creature takes an extra 1d8 force damage from the attack. When you reach 11th level in this class, the extra damage increases to 2d8. Cool. Mm-hmm, very cool. Mm-hmm. Scaling like a cantrip there. Mm-hmm. Distance Strike. At 11th level, you gain the ability to pass between the planes.
Oh, you missed one. Ethereal Step.
Whoops. Yeah. I'll double back. I know how to get back to the path. I'm a ranger. Nice. Ethereal Step. At 7th level, you learn to step through the ethereal plane, which is like the pseudo plane that sits on top of the material plane, right?
Yes, exactly.
And you can, like, when travel happens, it's usually through there, or like over planar messages and stuff. Like, I think you send it through the ethereal plane.
Yeah.
So as a bonus action, you can cast the etherealness spell with this feature without expending a spell slot. But the spell ends at the end of the current turn. Once you use this feature, you can't use it again until you finish a short or long rest.
Yeah, so you can just slip into the ethereal plane for a round.
Yeah, that's pretty freaking cool.
It is pretty dope.
It could be really useful, especially if there's like something that you need, an area you need to traverse that's difficult.
Yeah.
Kind of bypass everything. Mm-hmm. Distant Strike. At 11th level, you gain the ability to pass between the planes in the blink of an eye. When you take the attack action, you can teleport up to 10 feet before each attack to an unoccupied space you can see. If you attack at least two different creatures with the action, you can make one additional attack with it against a third creature.
So just like hit, teleport, hit, teleport, hit, teleport.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Nice stuff. Okay, Spectral Defense. You're getting high up there, level 15 ability. Your ability to move between planes enables you to slip through the planar boundaries to lessen the harm done to you during battle. When you take damage from an attack, you can use your reaction to give yourself resistance to all of that attack's damage on this turn.
So you just take half damage.
That's a cool, I like this, even at a level 15 feature, that's pretty good. Like, let me just, boom, I'm going to take half damage.
This is an excellent feature, and because you could do this every freaking turn.
It's great.
As long as you have a reaction.
The Ranger has like this really, really traditional vibe when we talk about it.
A lot of times.
But
not this one.
This one, yeah. It's like, well, the planes are part of nature. Like, why wouldn't a Ranger be able to specialize in that?
Exactly. That's it. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Good stuff.
Anything you want to ask and or add before we talk about my character?
Is there any like cool ranger, like you're gonna get your favorite terrain stuff?
And, yeah,
like,
you get all the regular Ranger stuff on top.
Favorite enemy and all that.
Yes.
Like, just track back to one of our other Ranger episodes, and like we covered it pretty deep, pretty in depth.
Indeed,
I think that was an Eric Silver episode, the last one we did.
I believe
we covered we revisited the Ranger
Monster Flare
like the day before Tasha's came out or something.
Right,
like
we
that.
Really did. Yeah, that's true.
It completely changed.
Yes.
I'm good. I want to hear about your character.
Alrighty. So my character is a human, variant human, of course, named Valentinius Varus, or as others know him, Valentine the Vagrant.
Oh, man.
So Valentinius, I really tapped into the whole multiverse idea with this guy. Mm-hmm. Essentially, Valentinius comes from a world where technomagic got really advanced. And his society really started tapping into the energies of the planes and using that to power their technology. He was a pretty basic engineer, like not like he wasn't like inventing stuff, but he was working in certain lab situations where he was near to the bleeding edge of a lot of this stuff, even if he wasn't like part of like the development.
Okay,
he was just part of like kind of the maintenance squad, if you will.
Sure.
Whatever this bleeding edge tech was, it caused a rift to open. Now, what happened?
It's the plot of the Mist.
Unclear. It could have been an abyssal incursion. Mm. Maybe it was a far realm incursion. Something happened, and the incursion began to swallow the entire world in chunks. And in a last ditch effort, as everything is falling apart, Valentinius gets his family, brings them to this facility where they have other bleeding tech, because he knows that there is a Stargate or a portal, if you will. He's got to get his family the hell out of here. So he does. But unfortunately, it's a prototype and it's not fully tested. Oh, so no. It's a risk, but there's no other choice. The whole world's falling apart.
We fall in the vacuum.
His entire family goes in, and much like the Fantastic Four, they get bombarded by cosmic energy, changes their DNA, mm-hmm. causes changes to them, mutations, if you will. And they get scattered across the multiplane. So he loses his family.
No.
And he gets cast into completely inhospitable plane. A wasteland, like an abyssal wasteland. Okay. But he gets basically cast into the nether where like all the broken worlds have just been kind of shattered, right? And he has been spending the last decade trying to find his family.
Oh, okay, I don't think you watched Loki, did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay, good.
Okay.
This is good.
Okay, cool.
Good to know. So he's just for the record, because Will doesn't know what what the reference is that he made, so there you go.
Okay, well.
Yeah. He didn't do it on purpose.
God damn it. Anyways, I was really excited about this guy. Don't tell me this stuff.
What's no,
this?
It's only like one little detail.
Oh, okay,
it's
okay. Cool.
Like
okay.
the character as a whole, you just like, I am in this place at the end of blah blah blah, like all the stuff accumulates. Like, what was the last thing you said about
like,
said that area?
I said all the shattered, like it's basically in the in between where all the shattered worlds of like.
Yeah, there's a place like that in Loki.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
it's like that. That's it's where, not that.
That's where he ends up for a little bit, but the infusion of the cosmic energy has given he has kind of an instability going on.
Okay.
Where it's very difficult for him to be stable in any given reality, and he involuntarily transfers from like plane to plane.
Okay.
Across shattered world after shattered world.
Okay.
And he slowly learns to control it. But basically I got almost like a Mad Max feel with this guy where he's just got the goggles and, you know, he's got a pistol and he's out here just surviving in the wilderness and
like real grungy.
Real
like
grungy style. Yeah, character. Absolutely. Okay. Looking for his family across the shattered cosmos.
His flannel's all dirty.
Sure, absolutely.
Yes.
But he specializes at this point. Like he's just got experience fighting aberrations and fucking bizarre like planar beings that he comes across.
Right.
And you know, again, I specialize with a pistol, so I think I took Let me pull up features and traits, feats.
The Horizon Walker, the Wanderer. You're like a Wanderer.
He's a Wanderer, yeah. So I took the Gunner feat. So he ignores the loading property for firearms, and being within 5 feet of a hostile creature doesn't pose a disadvantage on his ranged attack rolls. I gave him a automatic pistol,
cool,
which comes from his world, and he's barely been able to maintain it. He also has a whip. He also has the alert feature because he's hyper paranoid. He's just in constant danger.
I love that feature.
I think for the terrains, I tried to pick the most like inhospitable. So, oh yeah, his favorite enemies are aberrations and elementals, which makes sense because he's out here in it. Desert, mountain, and Arctic. So basically, I was trying to think of like, what are like the, when I think about like interdimensional wastelands, like what are like the most inhospitable?
Like the worst ones to wind up in. Yeah,
a vast red desert of death. You know what I mean? Like endless mountains of stone with nothing to eat. You know, obviously frozen tundra. So those are his three specialized.
Like the Grand Theft Auto meme when you fucking teleport, you're like, oh shit, here we go again.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I gained archery because archery gives him a plus 2 bonus to attack rolls made with ranged weapons. Bam. Mm-hmm. So that's for his gun.
So many rangers I like play with or DM for are not archers, and it like bothers me to some level.
Oh really?
Yeah, like because I have this idea of such a trope is embedded in me. Like,
well, I mean, the most rangers, if they're out surviving the wild, they should have a bow because you need that to hunt for the most part, unless you're trapping. I guess you could be a trapper.
But like
it's a weird skill to be like, nah, I don't need it. It's like, really? Because that could like up your survival by like a factor of 10.
I think the next chance I get, I'm going to make like a fully dedicated range character that can shoot like a bajillion arrows a turn.
For sure.
I'm just going to see what it's like. Maybe it sucks and that's why no one does it.
No, it's really fun.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, it sounds great. Yeah,
but I think, I don't know.
Like when I was warlocking, man, like I'm basically doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my AC is trash.
Oh, right. There is that as well. So although dexterity should, you know,
I have to stand back there.
Yeah, that's true. So for spells, he's got Hunter's Mark, Jump. I just picture him like almost like in a Limbo-like situation, where there's just like motes of earth far from each other, and he's got to like leap between them. Mm. So I gave him the Jump spell, Protection from Evil and Good. Dark Vision, you know, because he's a human. And I kind of picture that like coming in with the goggles.
Yeah.
I picture a lot of this stuff kind of like integrated with the tech that he's brought from his dead world.
You're like a really cool like post-apocalyptic like side scroller character.
Side scroller?
Like a platformer character almost.
Yeah, I feel like a platformer character. Sure, absolutely. And yeah, I went with a post-apocalyptic theme here. Oh yeah, so his gun. I took the Conjure Barrage spell, which, does this have a, there we go. You throw a non-magical weapon or fire a piece of non-magical ammunition in the air and create a cone of identical weapons that shoot forward and then disappear. Each creature in a 60-foot cone must succeed on dexterity. So I just picture him like literally like launching like a, almost like a mortar-like thing from his gun and then it scatters out.
I pictured him throwing his gun.
No, he's not going to throw his
and
gun.
And then there were like 30 guns.
Yeah, that's so stupid. No.
And then he's got to go get his gun.
No, that's so dumb. That's not how it works. Yeah. And then like there's Lightning Arrow, which the next time you make a ranged weapon attack during a spell's duration, the weapon's ammunition or the weapon itself, if it's a thrown weapon, it's not, transforms into a bolt of lightning. So again, this is just magic tech.
Cool he's weapon. Able to, yeah,
launch lightning at whatever he's dealing with.
That's awesome.
Etherealness he gets. So that's basically it for the spells. I'm trying to think, is there anything else going on with him?
He's teleporting into your world and shooting you in the head.
Yeah, so he's an Outlander, so he's got the Wanderer feature, which is basically he never gets lost, which he's always lost, so he can never be lost.
Yeah, totally.
I think for a campaign, if you know, obviously you want your character to fit into your DM's world. So I think for this guy, if it was like a more classic like campaign, I would just have like, you know, his involuntary teleportation kicked in and brought him here, and you know he's looking for his family. So he's like, well, maybe they're here.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta figure out what I gotta do next to jump.
Yeah. I know. Like, I would love this guy in an outer plane type campaign. You know, where it's like he really fits. And I just like his stoic mystery. Like, you know, I feel like he's like a legend. You know what I mean? Like, so he might just be an NPC that your PCs hear about. Like, oh yeah, Valentine the Vagrant rolled through here. You know, he killed like 5 aberrations and like saved this child. And then he just left. He didn't even say hi to anybody. He just like left.
Old Steve said he went into the woods and vanished when he broke the tree line.
Exactly. Like, yeah. So that's Valentinius Varus.
Do you know Steve, that codger, that drunk?
I like Valentinius Varus. He's awesome. Cool character.
Hey, folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at visible.com. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
And I would DM it like the party is planar jumping and they don't know why and it's this dude's fault.
Yeah, it could be that. Yeah,
and they're, they all have to go with him.
Yeah, and he's always looking for like clues, like, oh, have you seen anybody of these descriptions? My son, my daughter, my wife, my brother, like, you know, any of that stuff. So he's got a good goal to always keep moving forward.
The barbarian would be like Drax in this campaign. He's like, I gotta kill fucking Thanos.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll just roll with you until we show up on that guy.
Right, exactly.
I'll help you. You help me. Okay.
So yeah, any questions?
No, this is really cool. I really like this.
Thank you. Let's take a short rest.
Short rest.
This episode of the Dungeon Cast has been brought to you by Roundabout Editing. Congratulations, you've written a book. It's time to edit. Let Roundabout Editing do the work for you. Roundabout Editing offers full-length novel edits, package deals, payment plans, and free writing and editing counseling before and after your initial paid edit. They even include an optional book review written by them to help kickstart your marketing process. All you have to do is go to roundaboutediting.com and fill out a contact form today. That's www.roundaboutediting.com.
We're back. We've returned.
Indeed we have. And it's time to talk about the Fae Wanderer, which you've built today.
I built it.
So I'll tell the folks about it, and then you'll tell the folks about your character.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Okay.
Yeah.
So the Fae Wanderer. A Fae mystique surrounds you, thanks to the boon of an Archfae, the shining fruit you ate from, a talking tree, the magic spring you swam in, or some other auspicious event. However, you acquired your Fae magic. You are now a Fae Wanderer, a ranger who represents both the mortal and the Fae realms. As you wander the multiverse, your joyful laughter brightens the hearts of the downtrodden, and your martial prowess strikes terror into your foes. For great is the mirth of the Fae, and dreadful is their fury.
Hell yeah. Excellent.
So, all right. So starting at level 3, you get the feature Dreadful Strikes. You can augment your weapon strikes with mind-scarring magic drawn from the gloomy hollows of the Feywild. When you hit a creature with a weapon, you can deal an extra 1d4 psychic damage to the target.
Yeah.
You know, both these subclasses really got cool damage types that are very, very effective. Force for the Horizon Walker and Psychic for the Fey Wanderer.
It's good.
Really cool.
Horizon Walker was a Xanathar, right?
Yes, it was.
And this is a Tasha's.
Yes, it is. Extra 1d4 psychic damage to the target, which can take this extra damage only once per turn. The extra damage increases to 1d6 when you reach 11th level in this class. Also at their level, you get the Fae Wanderer magic, similar to the Horizon Walker magic. You learn an additional spell when you reach certain levels in this class, as shown in the Fae Wanderer spells table. Each spell counts as a ranger spell for you, but doesn't count against the number of ranger spells you know. Spells are as follows. Third level, you get Charm Person. Fifth level, Misty Step. 9th level, Dispel Magic, 13th level, Dimension Door, and 17th level, Mislead. Again, very good list. All very handy and useful.
See the Mislead spell. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with that one, but the first four, all very handy.
Yeah, for sure. Mislead says you become invisible. It's one action, self-concentration up to an hour. You become invisible at the same time that an illusory double of yourself appears where you are standing.
Oh.
The double lasts for the duration, but the invisibility ends if you attack or cast a spell. You can use your action to move your illusory double up to twice your speed and make it gesture, speak, and behave in whatever way you choose.
Speaking of Loki, this is literally what Loki does all the time.
Yeah, he does this shit, for sure.
He sends his illusion that way, and then he goes that way.
You can see through its eyes and hear through its ears as if you were located where it is, just like the Find Familiar, kind of. On each of your turns, as a bonus action, you can switch from using its senses to using your own, or back again. While you are using its senses, you are blinded and deafened. Yeah, it's just like the Find Familiar thing. Which is a pretty common spell. Nice. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You get another... There's another bit to this same feature. You also possess a preternatural blessing from a Fae ally or a place of Fae power. Choose your blessing from the Feywild gifts table or determine it randomly. Or make it up on your own. It doesn't say that, but like totally make it up on your own if you want.
Okay.
But here are the six that it provides. So... illusory butterflies flutter around you while you take a short or long rest.
Okay.
Fresh seasonal flowers sprout from your hair each dawn. Oh, that's a nice one. You faintly smell of cinnamon, lavender, nutmeg, or another comforting herb or spice. So you just smell nice. That one's the least interesting thus far. But it's a nice smell, so that's cool.
It's a cool role play thing.
Yeah,
like
sure.
Like you're cool to camp with because it smells like cinnamon.
Your shadow dances while no one is looking directly at it. That's fun. Horns or antlers sprout from your head. That's cool. Or you're just a satyr. Your skin and hair change color to match the seasons at each dawn. That's super cool, too. I really like all
those. Nice. Those are fun. Cool. You get one of these?
You get one of these, yes. Do you want to roll on the table to see what you get?
No, I want to reflavor mine based off of my character because I took a watery class.
Yes, you did. All right. So also at level 3, you get otherworldly glamour. Your fey qualities give you a supernatural charm. As a result, whenever you make a charisma check, too bad I dumped your charisma earlier, bro, you gain a bonus to the check equal to your wisdom modifier. It's a good thing that I dumped your charisma. You don't need it.
Nice.
In addition, you gain proficiency in one of the following skills of your choice: deception, performance, or persuasion.
I'm sorry that
I dumped your charisma again.
No, it's okay. I let Will pick my stats while I was like setting lights up and stuff.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I didn't do this part. Here, you do it. Like, I was just like, okay. I trust you. And I didn't think it was that important to like min-max it that way.
Nah.
Yeah, so I just like whatever comes out, like I'm willing to lean in.
So at level 7, you get your next feature called Beguiling Twist. The magic of the Feywild guards your mind. You have advantage on saving throws against being charmed or frightened. Nice. That's standard fey stuff.
Yeah.
In addition, whenever you or a creature you could see within 120 feet of you succeeds on a saving throw against being charmed or frightened, you can use your reaction to force a different creature you can see within 120 feet of you to make a wisdom saving throw against your spell save DC. If the save fails, the target is charmed or frightened by you. So it's like you're pulling the magic and reversing it.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with like a mirrory, like I'm going with a lot of like watery, ice, like mirrors, like misdirection, cool. Stuff like that.
Nice.
Yeah, so I was thinking like a mirror could reflect the spell and a series of mirrors could re-reflect it with like my image in it to like scare the other creature.
I like that.
That would be some cool flavor.
The target can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of its turns, ending the effect on itself on a successful save. At 11th level, you get your next feature called Fey Reinforcements. The royal courts of the Feywild have blessed you with the assistance of Fey beings.
That's dope.
You know Summon Fey, a spell in Chapter 3 of Tasha's. It doesn't count against the number of your ranger spells you know, and you can cast it without a material component, because who keeps track of those anyways? You can also cast it once without a spell slot, and you regain the ability to do so when you finish a long rest. Whenever you start casting the spell, you can modify it so that it doesn't require concentration. If you do so, the spell's duration becomes 1 minute for that casting. So you kind of do it as a ritual, semi-ritual?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Man, the more people I talk to about components, like the more varied the response.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's very table to table.
Here's the question. Leave in the comments whether you ignore or use material components in your game.
And I think we've asked that before, and we get that mixed response. But it would be cool. It would be interesting to hear like who's really keeping a lot of track of that.
I always ignore it, and the only times I don't ignore it is when I decide to for this campaign we're gonna keep track of it. But what we're gonna do is we're just going to have this ephemeral idea of components. And you can spend X amount of gold, however you want, on components.
Yeah.
And like whatever the value of you have to spend of components to cast a spell, we'll just say you have the correct components.
Yeah. I'm also a fan of like you get the components once and they don't like necessarily get consumed every or whatever. And now you just have them, or like we just explain like, okay, now I did what I need to do to do the spell, and now I can just do the spell.
For mine, I would say they are, when we're using just like the umbrella term components, it's like, it does get expended. So it's just an X amount of gold you
have to
constantly
spend. Right, so you have to, I have to keep track. Like, I can't cast Fireball because all my batshit ran out or whatever.
Right, exactly.
Spell consume that?
Like, I don't know. It doesn't matter because I'm using components, and your components ran out.
Right, so like basically it's like the last like X component in the list could cast any spell, almost like rations. Like you are going to be fed for the day.
Yes.
But like you have 7 of them.
Yes, exactly.
And I don't care if they're hard boiled eggs or what. Like,
yeah.
You know,
Yeah. Exactly.
That's cool.
So finally, at level 15, you get your final feature called Misty Wanderer. You can slip in and out of the Feywild to move in a blink of an eye. You can cast Misty Step without expending a spell slot. You can do so a number of times equal to your wisdom modifier, which should be pretty high at this point.
Yeah.
And you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest. In addition, whenever you cast Misty Step, you can bring along one willing creature you could see within 5 feet of you.
Oh, wow.
That's really nice. The creature teleports to an unoccupied space of your choice within 5 feet of your destination. Also, super smooth. If you know like a really beautiful but also safe place in the Feywild to take your first date, like, man.
Ooh.
Very smooth.
Very super smooth.
Level 15, but smooth.
I like the direction you went with this. Very like a personal, like interconnected, like human to human thing.
Right. Absolutely.
That's why I was laughing. Okay. So my character.
Oh yeah. Tell us about your character, bro.
Is Misty Dan.
Misty Dan.
Misty Dan was born today. Hi, Misty Dan.
So he was born 5 minutes ago.
So Misty Dan swam through seven rings in the ocean because they're a Triton and got Fey powers and like traveled to the Feywild and got stuck there.
Seven rings? I'm confused.
Yeah, like seven rings, like in Star Fox or whatever. He went through like a portal.
Okay.
It's like the short.
Okay.
The short of it.
Okay.
But it looked like seven rings, and nice. He had to swim through them consecutively.
Okay.
And Misty Dan is like an exploratory kind of dude.
Okay. Obviously, he's a ranger.
Yeah. I haven't taken the hermit background. He never really fit into normal society. He felt hard to understand. Like, he was difficult to understand, or he had a difficult time understanding others.
Okay.
And it wasn't like a sociopathic thing.
Yeah.
It was more like, I just see the world differently than you do.
Yeah, there's just a disconnect.
And when he went to the Feywild, there was a regular connect.
Wow, that's interesting. So he's Fey-minded.
He's Fey-minded, and like he's into like you know what? Like, if I don't have to live in this plane, I don't have to live in the ocean. I could live wherever I want. Mm-hmm. But he likes the ocean. So Misty Dan became more of like a coastal Triton. So he walks He walks the coastline. I picture him walking like a delta,
mm-hmm.
Where it's like a lot of flat like pools of water, almost kind of swampy mm-hmm. at some times, especially more inland.
Yeah.
But like a very rich coastal area with like a lot of life and a lot of plants where mm-hmm. he's going to like basically hang out and thrive.
Mostly in the material plane or in the Fey?
Mostly in the material plane. I think this is one of those things where they spend a lot of time in the Fey
mm-hmm.
and could go there if they felt like it. Mm-hmm. But like...
Like they went there once for a long time and now they're back.
And now they're back and they live in a place where like the Fey spill into the material plane. Like they're like, oh, yeah, you know what? I'm a material plane guy, but I like to be in this thin place where like I'm going to see some...
A little bit of both.
Yeah, like okay. The fairies thing. I want my Fey gift, I want to flavor it so when they look, their reflection is in a, like a pool of water,
mm-hmm.
that it's going to kind of do the shadow thing. Like it's going to do different shit than
what
they're
doing. Oh, that's fun. I like that. That's really cool. Does the reflection have to be in water or is it just his reflection all the time?
I think in the water.
Okay.
That would be interesting. I didn't think about like a regular mirror. Like mm-hmm. how often are you really going to see, like how rare are mirrors?
Probably
like,
fairly rare in your location. That's what it sounds like to me.
I learned from a Beholder episode that like you can scrub stones to make the first mirrors were just like metals and stuff that were like polished really nicely to bear a reflection.
I forgot about that fact.
That was a fact. Okay. A Beholder fact. Good times. Yeah. I'm thinking it's just while it's in the water because he's got like a spiritual connection to that. Like maybe the reflection in the water will like tell them what to do next with like some sort of like physical signage or something like
that. That's kind of cool. I like that.
Or like warn of danger, mm-hmm. like be pointing to the party like, oh fuck, like watch out. Because I can see Misty Dan it's like
a little bit like a less mischievous Peter Pan's shadow.
Sort of, yeah. Like more mildly concerned mostly, or
right.
just chilling.
The mildly concerned shadow.
That would be a cool like flavor thing, like as long as it didn't affect statistics.
Yes.
So let's see what I gave Misty Dan a lot of. I called him Misty Dan. That's probably his name was probably just Dan of the Sea or some shit like that. And when he left the ocean. He is constantly spritzed. He looks like he's constantly, that's his Fey touch. He looks wet.
I love how you almost never give your characters, like, a fantasy name. You always just give them, like, a mundane R-world name.
Kind of.
Like, so was his name Daniel, or can we, like, say, like, his name was Dan Tanneran?
Dan Tanneran? I have an NPC, like, suspiciously close to that name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, we played in that game the other day.
Dan
Tanneran? Ran Tannen?
Oh, I forgot like about that. Yeah.
But that's for the future.
It's his evil brother.
Yeah, I mean, for my game, I'm doing a lot of really cool names.
Yes,
so,
you
like,
are.
I
you
like
are.
For the dungeon cast to put a little, this character's for me for fun.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play it. If somebody wants to play Misty Dan, or, like, I just picture a lot of people that listen to this show, like, picking up these characters for NPCs in their game because they think it's funny.
Yeah.
And I know that that's the case because people tell us that's what they do.
Yeah,
so,
that's cool.
Like, have fun with Misty Dan, guys. You know?
All right, well, tell us more about Misty Dan.
Misty Dan, I took the...
Dan Tanneran.
Dan Tanneran. Dan Tanneran. Misty Daniel. What the fuck? Okay, favorite. Let's do favorite enemies and stuff like that. So I have nature, stealth, survival for my proficiencies.
Makes sense.
Like a hermit wanderer. My favorite enemies are beasts and elementals. I feel like I'm going to have to deal with those a lot.
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't pick Fae. I didn't see them like fighting the Fae. I right. picture them like working. I know there's like evil face stuff, but they just like avoid it.
Enemy,
I'm not going in there to fuck around.
Yeah.
Favorite terrains are coast, grassland, and forest, because I always build my characters to level 10. Mm-hmm. So I get three of those. Those are the main areas. I see them like kind of frequenting. Swamp, maybe I almost took, mm-hmm. but I thought that was kind of, or like marsh.
Right.
I don't know. I thought grassland covered it. Sure. Fighting style, I took the thrown weapon.
What's he throwing?
So you can draw a weapon that has the thrown property, definitely like some sort of fucking lance, fishing spear, or triton.
Nice.
Because like, when else am I going to use, it doesn't feel appropriate to use that as like, I'm a human fighter from the mainland. I got a fucking triton. Although that would be sick.
Yeah, no, I picture
that
like,
actually sounds really good. No, I should literally do that.
This is what I picture when you said that. I picture a gladiator with a net and a fucking trident. Because you throw the net, and then once you got him under the net, you
start stabbing him.
Yeah,
doesn't exactly. have to be a trident either.
I'm pretty sure that's like
anything for stabbing. That net's gonna work.
It's
well.
It's a common pairing.
That's good. That's. I mean, okay. So I have a net, and I have.
Hell yeah, you do.
I have a trident that's shaped like a crab. So it's nice. It's four pronged actually.
Hell yeah.
It looks like a little crab.
A quadant. Because there's
Bident
in the trident.
Yes, tri for three.
Yeah.
So quad is four, like a square.
Okay, but you keep talking. Prongs. I'm gonna try and name this thing because I don't like quadant.
Okay. Devil strikes. Feywanderer magic. We covered all this stuff. Let me find like the. I took the healer feat. What is that? Let me find that shit. What are you Googling?
I'm trying to, okay. So I was looking up, like, what would a four-pronged trident be called?
Okay.
And this person says it would either be called a quadrant or a fork.
A fork. I carry a large fork. It looks evil.
And now I think about pitchforks have four prongs. So you have a pitchfork.
Well, you made it. I have a pitchfork.
You have a pitchfork.
I have a pitchfork. It's stylized to look like crab stuff. Okay. I got some feats.
Cool. I hope you have two of them at least.
Yes, I took the healer feat. So when you use the healer's kit to stabilize dying creatures, that creature also regains 1 HP. As an action, you can spend one use of healer's kit to tend to creature and restore 1d6 plus 4 HP to it, plus additional HP equal to the creature's maximum number of hit dice. The creature can't regain HP from this feature again until it finishes a short or long rest. And I mostly picture myself using this on animals.
Okay, I was about to ask you, like, why take the healer feat? So you're out here, like, mending
for myself like, and the animals.
You gotta heal them shark bites.
I gotta heal, yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. And I'm like, water is my element, but there's, like, I'm walking around in the forest and I might get, like, you know, a rash or whatever.
Sure.
I, like, want to heal that shit up or, like, stabbed. I don't want to get gangrene and die.
Yeah, absolutely not.
So that's why.
In an unrelated note, I'm looking up different types of tridents. And we got the newest Aquaman. He's got a five-pronged trident.
Well, it's inherently not a trident anymore, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure what it is.
Like you said, it is some sort of multi-pronged stabbing device.
Indeed.
It's the hand of stab.
It's the hand of stab. It does look like a hand. It's the hand of stab. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
I was fae touched on my next ability, my feat. My ability score increased to take the feat. You learn the Misty Step spell and one first level divination enchantment spell of your choice and can cast each of these spells without expending a spell slot, recharging on a long rest. I took Beast Bond as one of my spells. But let me look up exactly what it does. Beast Bond 5e. So I can, like, explain why. I thought it would be cool to, like, have, like, an animal flavor with this character. And, like, have them close with animals somehow. It's one action touch, lasts 10 minutes. You establish a telepathic link with one beast you touch that is friendly to you or charmed by you. The spell fails if the beast's intelligence is 4 or higher. Until the spell ends, the link is active while you and the beast are within light of sight.
So you're Aquaman. You're Aquaman.
I did a little bit of Aquaman
you
stuff.
You did. Sorry, last thing about the four-pronged trident. I Google image search four-pronged trident. There's a lot of both pitchforks and regular forks.
Oh, that's like a fucking kitchen fork. Indeed. I could eat a garden salad with that.
Yeah, you could.
And it looks like I could massage my skull with one of those other ones I'm seeing.
I'm done now. Go ahead.
Well, the link is active. The beast gains advantage on attack rolls against any creature within 5 feet of me. So I can, Aquaman a dude up.
Cool. That sounds awesome.
Or tell it not to kill.
What's his personality like? Is he nice?
Yeah.
He seems like he would be.
I think the adventuring hook for him would be to like, I like you randos that rolled through my fucking forest. Like,
I'm gonna roll with you.
I'm gonna help you.
Okay, cool.
And like, you helped us. I'm gonna go with you. Like, real chill. Like, yeah. Like shaggy but not afraid.
Nice. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like a real hippie boy. Fey touch, but like, just kind of gonna do random shit sometimes, like fey-ish mentality stuff. Like, almost like a druid feel here. Real adjacent, but like, I'm gonna get all that cool ranger stuff. I was like, yeah, man, you wanna explore the marsh? I can take you.
Nice. I can take you there. Yeah, he's always super chill.
Yeah, he's a real chill dude. You know, not a stranger to drugs.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Some people call him Druggy Dan.
Misty Dan. He's gonna cheesecloth some liquid into a spray bottle.
Horrifying, bro.
Oh, lift your tongue.
The show is not for kids.
The show is not for your kids, and people are really mad about it sometimes.
They are.
Sorry.
And that sucks for them.
Yeah, I just do the thing. I just do things I like.
I this like show. This show. Yeah. Are we ready to get ready for a long rest? All right, let's take a long rest.
Well, do you have any questions about Misty Dan?
Nah, he's self-explanatory.
Misty Dan's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's fun.
I like to name my proficiencies because it helps tell the story, right? So I didn't actually take animal handling, but I have a +2 in it. strength and dexterity for my saving throws. It's pretty cool. Seems weird. So I'm proficient in medicine, nature, performance, religion, stealth, and survival.
Religion?
Yeah. I don't know how that happened, actually. I don't know when that got picked.
Okay.
But you know what? Like, that could be some background shit. Like, maybe I'm proficient in religion because...
Maybe that's why you never vibe with your society, because they were really orthodox.
Yeah, like, I was thinking, okay, like, they trained me in it, but I know a lot about it, but I'm not about it.
All right, long rest time.
Okay.
I like Misty Dan. We'll see where it goes.
Everybody, welcome to the long rest. Will's trying to make minions canonical on the show.
No, I'm not.
I had to tell everyone, I had to alert them that you're trying to make our boy a minion. I have to say yes, because that's a deal.
Well, what's the beam power? We never came out with the ray.
Give him the feature in detail. So, I can't just say that. Did we turn him yellow and long? Does he love bananas? No, it's the other thing.
Do minions love bananas? Is that a thing? I've never seen the movies.
They constantly are talking about them, so I think so.
Okay, interesting.
I've only kind of watched the movies. They're on, and I just sort of coast.
I'm more of a Megamind fan myself.
Okay, I don't think that's...
Despicable Me.
I don't even think that's like a... That's a weird comparison to make.
Despicable Me and Megamind, they're very comparable. They were often compared when the movies came out.
Oh, really? Yes. Okay, I didn't watch Megamind.
Oh, Megamind's excellent. I love it. Anyways, moving on. we're building a beholder. This is our last one of the year, guys. And for the feature, we're taking...
No, wait, no. We're building one more beholder after this, aren't we?
Are we? I thought we're four, and we've built three.
Right, but like, this is the final feature on the third one.
Oh, you're right. Are we still on Grick?
Yeah.
Or Rick the Grick?
We got to give Rick one more thing. That's why I was saying you're turning our boy into a minion.
Sorry, Rick. So for the feature.
Right at the end here, you're just going to slide this one through. What a long rest. This is the part of the show where we build a beholder and get ready for bed and tell you we love you. I got to get back on that. That was a short rest thing. We don't do those. Those are ads now.
So for the feature that we picked, that I picked.
Tell them what you did to our boy.
I don't know why I can't stop laughing. Rick is getting Valentinius' goggles. Single goggle. He's got the one central eye. So he's just got a big ocular goggle right on the center of
his
body.
Come get us, DreamWorks. I'm fucking ready.
You tell them about the beam now.
Okay.
I'm crying.
Let's see. We gotta pick a. We did not pick a beam. I was completely unhinged.
I've never seen Despicable Me, so I didn't think of minions. But goggles are cool, and I think a single ocular goggle on the center of this big dumb rancher is hilarious.
It's not dumb. okay. What do we want? What do we want for the beam?
Well, it has to come from the Fey Wanderer thing, so what is some of the Fey stuff that you could do?
Fey Wanderer, you learn an additional spell, but I don't want it to fire just a spell. It smells like cinnamon. It smells like Grix, whatever that smells like. otherworldly glamour. Fae qualities give you supernatural charm.
Okay, it's got a Feywild. Here we go. Feywild gifts ray. You roll a d6, and one of the Feywild gifts poofs out of it.
Yes! I love it!
So either illusory butterflies or the faint smell of cinnamon.
The conviction with which it was said is like just part of the magic here. Okay. Fresh seasonal flowers sprout from your hair each dawn. You faintly smell of cinnamon, lavender, nutmeg, or another comforting herb or spice. Your shadow dances while no one is looking directly at it.
No.
The beholder shadow dancing is really good visual.
No, you know Rick probably uses this because he loves his Grix.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. He does it to the Grix while he's alone.
Yeah.
He doesn't use his beam in combat, but it will randomly fire.
The beam is for the Grix and to make their lives better with good smells and flowers.
You guys smell like shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Smells great in here now.
Grick is a good pet owner. And he's a responsible pet owner.
Rick the Grick Rancher. He's not just a pet owner. He's like their leader.
Yeah, well, he's a rancher.
He's their rancher.
Yeah, indeed.
That's a whole different thing. There he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Our third beholder of the year.
Our third beholder, a minion.
No, he's not a minion. He's anything but. He has minions.
He does have minions.
That being said, we are running a contest if it hasn't ended already. I'm not sure when this episode's coming out because it's cutting it close. But we are giving away two copies of Fizban's Treasury of Dragons. If you want to win a copy, there are two ways to enter. You can get on Twitter and or any other social media, share your favorite episode of the show with hashtag DungeonCast. We will enter you to win there. And then also you could go to Instagram, like the post that announces the contest, tag two people, you can enter to win there.
Yeah, make sure you're following all the rules. Like, I think you have to be a subscriber as well.
Yeah, we are announcing the winners on the 19th, which is the day the book is released. And you guys here live will hear about the winners as soon as we know on our next recording.
Yeah, and I got my pre-order in already.
Nice.
I can't pre-order yours, guys, because I don't fucking know who won yet.
Exactly.
Well, maybe I do by now in like the regular time. This was weeks ago.
Indeed.
There's been a party going on for the last 3 weeks. And if you guys can hear it in the background of this recording, I don't know if you can or cannot, but this is the time that we scheduled to record, and God damn it, we're doing it. So,
matter of fact, we're finishing it. I think we're calling it a game.
We are about to call it a game. If my neighbors happen to listen to this, I hope you guys are having a great time. It sounds like a blast.
Let's call it a game.
Bye.
Talk to you guys later.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.